This is KYUK, public radio for the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. I'm Anna Rose MacArthur. The ice road on the frozen Kuskokwim River has been plowed to its longest length ever, 355 miles. That's longer than most traditional highways in the state, but it's likely a bit more rough in places given that the road is a frozen river. Still, it allows for snow machine and vehicle traffic in a region that otherwise relies on unpredictable airplane travel in the winter. From Alaska's Energy Desk, Christy Schallenberger has the story.
There's a famous saying, it takes a village to raise a child. And in the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta, it takes several villages to plow a road on a frozen river. Tim Zakhar maintains the roads for the village of Crooked Creek. Zakhar was part of a crew that plowed a road on the frozen Kuskokwim River to Sleep Mute, 42 miles away.
That was Mark's idea, to get all the way up to Sleep Mute, probably just to see if it can be done and to show it can be done.
Zakhar is talking about Mark Leary, who works for the village of Napaimute. Leary and Zakhar helped lead efforts to plow the longest ice road ever this winter in the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta.
We're tired.
Leary has been on the road, or the frozen river, since February 7th. He and four others left Bethel to plow the road up to Sleep Mute. Taking care of the ice road usually begins around January. Crews clear the river and mark it so that travelers can make it to villages near Bethel. The average length of the ice road, according to Leary, has been about 200 miles. The farthest Leary has ever plowed has been to Crooked Creek, but this time Leary wanted to go 42 miles further, all the way to Sleep Mute.
Our role was just to prove that it could be done. You know, people were skeptical.
Cold temperatures have lingered this winter, with the average temperature in January below 5 degrees Fahrenheit, according to climatologist Rick Toman. That has kept the river frozen and made it safer for heavier vehicles to travel. Many villages in the Middle Kuskokwim area don't have health clinics or a permanent health aid and rely on planes to travel for health care needs in the winter. So, Zakhar says, it's important that residents now have other means of travel.
Really hard to travel, you know, with our normal means of travel, you know, on the river with snow machines and four-wheelers and stuff, because of all that rough ice down there and all the snow we've been having.
The rough ice was particularly bad between Jawathbluk and Napaimute, communities south of Crooked Creek. That prevented people from traveling to Aniak, the hub of the Middle Kuskokwim River, for food supplies and healthcare needs. It was so rough that Leary's crew had to bulldoze it before they could plow it, and it took them nearly 2 days to clear 14 miles. But once they hit Crooked Creek, where Zakhar was waiting for them, Leary says it got a little easier.
That's their country. They know it.
Leary and Zakhar say the ice got thinner the closer they got to Sleep Mute because of the late freeze-up and lots of snow insulating the ice. But Zakhar and his crew helped navigate the thinner ice, and by Saturday, all of them made it to Sleep Mute. Rebecca Wilmarth lives in Red Devil, which is about 10 miles south of Sleep Mute, and one of the villages that now, for the first time, has an ice road.
It was a historical moment to extend the ice road all the way up to Sleep Mute.
The community of Sleep Mute held a potluck for the men to thank them for their efforts. But while the ice road is plowed, Wilmarth and Zakhar say maintaining it is another challenge. Red Devil doesn't have a tribal council or city government with funds to help them out.
Kind of in the same boat as Tim, not really sure what the next move is and who that responsibility will lie with at this point.
Zakhar says the road means more traffic, which means more potential stranded drivers, and that could be a burden to search and rescue groups. But for now, residents are grateful to have a road to get to the next village or get to a health clinic instead of flying. For Alaska's Energy Desk, I'm Christy Schallenberger in Bethel.
Over 2 years after the Bethel Hotel Tundra Suites Medicaid fraud was uncovered, the legal case has come to an end. Tundra Suites owner Chin S. Kim and associate Mia Young each pled guilty to one count of medical assistance fraud. They will pay $135,000 together as restitution. KYUK's Greg Kim has more.
When Medicaid recipients travel for medically necessary care, Medicaid pays for the recipient's food, taxi rides, and lodging using vouchers. The vendors then redeem those vouchers with Medicaid for cash money. From July until December of 2017, Tundra Suites owner Chin S. Kim and his associate Mia Young have pled guilty to defrauding the Alaska Medicaid program by billing for Medicaid recipients who were not actually staying at the hotel. To find out how Kim and Young were obtaining Medicaid vouchers from people who were not staying at the hotel, the state's Medicaid program sent investigators to Bethel. They found a common theme among people whose vouchers were being submitted by Tundra Suites despite never staying at the hotel. They took taxis while in Bethel. Mia Young was previously an owner of a Bethel taxi company, according to the charging documents. She had overcharged Medicaid for taxi rides and lost her ability to participate in the program. The charging documents state she owes Medicaid over $200,000 for those taxi ride overcharges. Young began billing Medicaid on behalf of Tundra Suites in July of 2017. Kim says he didn't know about the fraudulent billing until November. Young said when Kim found out, he was concerned and wanted to stop, but did not report or stop her. By December, the pair had submitted over $100,000 in fraudulent claims to Medicaid. By pleading guilty, Kim and Young agreed to pay $135,000 jointly in restitution. The court has already received that amount. Additionally, Kim will complete 160 hours of community service while serving 3 years on supervised probation. Young has already served 6 months of house arrest with an ankle monitor, and Tundra Suites no longer exists. In Bethel, I'm Greg Kim.
Lastly, we have a correction on a story that ran yesterday that stated that entering local option meant that Bethel receives no alcohol sales tax. That is not true. There is still alcohol sales tax collected on beer and wine sales in restaurants. This is KYUK News. I'm Anna Rose MacArthur. Thanks for listening. Please email your comments and news tips to news@kyuk.org. And stay tuned for News Yuktun coming up.